John chapter 6, and I want to begin reading in verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." I'm going to stop right there. That's my title, The Work of God, for this morning. But let me read you something. This is by J.C. Ryle. And I really like this. "The early Christians made it a part of their religion to look for his return. Backward, they looked to the cross and the atonement for sin and rejoiced in Christ crucified. Upward, they looked to Christ at the right hand of God and rejoiced in Christ interceding. Forward, they looked to the promised return of their master and rejoiced in the thought that they would see him again." And we ought to do the same. I like that. That's true. We ought to do the same. We can look backwards now and see Christ. We can look upwards and see Christ. And we can look forward to actually seeing Christ when he comes again. Anyhow, Jesus answered these fellows in verse 26, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not." Labor not. I could preach on that right there. Just labor not. "For the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For him hath God the Father sealed." I like that too. Now, people are continually saying to seek Christ. That's a good thing. I mean, which in and of itself is not a bad thing. But let me be clear, seeking Christ is good. Coming to Christ is good. However, in this case right here, Jesus Christ himself said that's not quite enough. Which is a very strange thing to a lot of people. These people came seeking Christ. Well, here's the thing. Sometimes, all the time, why you are seeking Christ is important. Why you are seeking Christ. The why of seeking Christ is as important as the seeking of Christ. Now, these did seek Jesus, which is good. And they sought Jesus Christ for the wrong reason. And that's what he told them. They sought Jesus because their bellies were filled. That's what he told them. And you understand, Jesus Christ wasn't lying. He wasn't exaggerating. He spoke the exact perfect truth to these gentlemen. And he told them, "Labor not for the meat that perisheth." Labor not for the meat that perishes. They ate of the loaves and were filled. Now, the operative word there is were filled. They were filled. Guess what? The meat that perishes, you're hungry again. You're hungry again. Now they're hungry again. Matter of fact, Paul wrote to us in Philippians, you don't have to turn there, about these type of followers. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us, as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. He's talking about men who walk. He's talking about followers. What's he say? Whose end is destruction. Ah, here it is. Whose God is their belly. Oh, my. And whose glory is in their shame. Who mind earthly things. That's who was following Christ here. That's who was seeking Christ here. Their mind were on earthly things.
Right.
Christ told them, your bellies were filled. That's why you're here. You want your belly filled again. And Paul told us, watch out for them. Watch out for them. What did he say? There it is. They walk, but not well. And that's the truth of it. They follow for their belly's sake. They mind, they pay heed, they have their attention on earthly things. Earthly things. They have a fixation on earthly things. And Paul says, beware. And Christ told these people here, you follow me, not because of the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. That's not what the gospel is about. That's not what the gospel is about. Oh. And he told them, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of God shall give, what? Unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Pay very close attention to this. A, there is everlasting life. And B, it's the Son of Man that gives everlasting life. Jesus Christ has power over all flesh. Why? What for? He says it. What? He has power over all flesh that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father has given him. It's John 17, very first part of it. He has power over all flesh, and I'll put it this way. He has all power over all flesh. Walter been reading it in Romans 9. He makes out of the same lump of clay, that potter makes one vessel unto honor and one vessel unto dishonor. And that's what he said, and that's what he meant. He has power over all flesh to give eternal life. And that's what he just told these people. John 10 and verse 26 says this, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. And y'all can do anything with that you want to. That's what the Bible says. That's what Christ said. And that's exactly what he meant. You believe not because you're not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Oh, and they follow me. They follow me. And I give unto them, what? Eternal life. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I give my sheep eternal life, everlasting life, and my sheep will never perish. Oh, I like that. The children of God, the sons and daughters of God, shall never perish. Why? Because he gives. The Son of Man can give everlasting life. Oh my. and him, the Son of Man, the Father hath sealed. Set it down that he is the one, the Christ, the anointed, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen.
God with us. God manifest in the flesh. So, then these gentlemen, these people who had followed over because their bellies had been filled, answered Christ. Christ said, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Now you understand, Walter, it just hit me. I have quoted this scripture many times. I've read from this scripture. I've read it, tried to study it, and it never dawned on me that these people here act out of their wanting their bellies filled, followed Christ, and they answered Christ with the exactly wrong question. Think about it. I've quoted this. I've referenced this. He told them to labor not. What did they say? What shall we do? What shall we do? They asked, now here it is, after what he just said, they asked no question about everlasting life. They asked no question about the Son of Man. They asked no questions about the Son of Man, whom the Father has sealed. Past tense. He's there standing right before him. He has the words of eternal life. He told them about eternal life. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat that endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. Not a question one about the Son of Man, not a question one about everlasting life. It reminded me of that one when you said it years ago, when John said, there's one here whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. They never asked one question about where he was. They never asked one question. You know why? The same thing with these people whose God is their belly. What Christ said to them went right over their heads. They didn't understand it. Now, I have been there, folks, when people said things that went right over my head. I know what it feels like. You just don't understand. And I read this, and it just never dawned on me that they asked exactly the wrong question. He told them to labor not, and they asked, what shall we do? They missed his point. They missed what he said. I'm going to tell you something. They missed eternal life because they missed the Son of Man. They missed the point, the gospel, because they ignored what Jesus Christ said. Because here's the thing. They asked what, and they didn't ask who. Because the who is more important than the what. When that who is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is always more important than the what. It's the Son of Man which giveth unto you eternal life. It's the Son of God which is the well-beloved Son of the Father. And what did God say at the Mount of Transfiguration? Hear ye him.
Amen.
And that's what these folks didn't do. They were asking about the what, and they weren't asking about the who. They were concerned about their bellies and not concerned about their souls. You understand? When God gives you a consciousness, just a small little touch of the consciousness of your sin, you'll start to worry about the who.
Yeah.
Who can deliver me from the body of this death? Yeah. You understand? It's not who can deliver me from this body of death. No. Who can deliver me from the body of this death that I'm in? Oh. That's the point. Who can deliver? Who can deliver? Now, Christ did answer their question. He did. They didn't ask of eternal life. Like I said, they didn't ask about the meat that endures unto everlasting life. They didn't ask about the Son of Man. They didn't ask of him that gives eternal life. They just passed right over that. And I can tell you this, the natural man will always miss the point. You know why? Because the natural man always misses the who. The who. Oh. They are worried, terribly worried about what? What is your doctrine? What is your statement of faith, Walter? You believe in the confession of whatever year it was. I believe Christ. I believe Christ. And if that confession agrees with Christ, okay. And if it doesn't, no way. No way. Oh, let me tell you something. Even though men miss the point of truth, even though the natural man will always ask the wrong questions, Christ Jesus has the answer. Christ Jesus has all the answers, and Christ Jesus has all the right answers. And here's their answer, and here's your answer. This is, I love those words, this is the work of God. And these are the words of Christ also. This is the work of God. This is it. That you believe on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What did he say? This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. That one you just ignored when you asked that question. What shall we do? The Son of Man who gives everlasting life. Believe on him. Yeah. Believe on him. That's what he says. This is the work of God. This is it. Understand, this is not the work of men. This is not the work of a man or a woman. This is the work of God. This is the work of God. Oh, what do I mean? I mean what the scripture states. Faith in Christ Jesus, everlasting life in Christ Jesus, is a gift. From beginning to end. Everlasting life is given by the Son of Man. Oh, I like that. I do. What do I mean? Faith in Christ Jesus is the gift of God. Yes. Scriptures are plain. Understand, believing Christ is necessary, and the faith of Jesus Christ is necessary to believe Christ Jesus. What does it say in Hebrews 11? Enoch, God translated Enoch. Enoch did not see death because God translated him. But it says this, for before his translation, Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. Now that's in verse 5 of Hebrews 11. Verse 6 of Hebrews 11 says this, but without faith it is impossible to believe, to please him. God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Believing in Christ Jesus is not the act of the natural man. It is not in the capacity of the natural man. You like that word? The natural man cannot believe the things of the Spirit of God. That's what it says. I read it last week. I'll read it again this week. I don't mind. Believing Christ is not the act of a man as he is born. Again, faith in Christ Jesus is the gift of God. He is the author and the finisher of faith. And he is the giver of faith. And by faith, his faith, we believe. And even that's not of ourselves. Ephesians 1 and 18 and 19 says this, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe." Who believe? What? "According to the working of his mighty power." You understand? This is one of them things that Paul wrote about in Philippians. He works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You understand? It's of his good pleasure that you believe Christ. And he works in you both to will it and to do it. Why? By the working of his mighty power. According to the working of his mighty power. Oh, it takes the power of God to believe him that the Father sent. It takes the power of God to believe him that the Father has sealed. It takes the power of God to believe him that the Father calls his well-beloved, only begotten Son. Oh, I like that. The natural man does not believe the things of Christ because the natural man cannot. The natural man is far too more concerned with the what than the who. This is the work of God. John 3 and verse 18, he's already written it. Christ already said it. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Then John wrote himself in 3 and verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath," past tense, "everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Who is more important than what? This is the work of God. That you believe him. That you believe him. You understand? The work of God is seen in election. He chose his people from before the foundation of the world. The work of God is seen in redemption. Our Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood for his people. The work of God is seen in justification. By his stripes you're healed. You understand? The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And by his stripes we're healed. The work of God is seen in reconciliation. And that Jesus Christ brings us to God, who cannot even look upon sin. But through his redemption, through his justification, we are reconciled to God. Oh, because the work of God that you believe him who redeemed, him who reconciled, him who justified, him who is glorifying the people of God, the ones that the Father gave him. But let me tell you just a few things. Just a little of the work of faith in man by believing him. I do want to give you just a few things of what believers do because of the who, because of believing Christ. Number one, doing the will and work of God is not always a physical or material effort. What do I mean by that? Genuine, sincere faith in Christ, hearing Him and believing Him, is doing the will of God. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. Faithfulness to the gospel, to the Lord's church, to the Lord's people, and to our own families is doing the will and the work of God. Amen. It is required, what? In stewards, that a man be found faithful. And here's the last thing. Just short list. Loving the brethren. Loving the brethren. Dependable, enduring love for one another is fulfilling the commandments of the Lord. And it is, you believe Him. And it's something the world, I don't think they can quite grasp a hold of. You understand? I love brethren I never even met yet. Because if you love whom has begotten, you love them that are begotten. Oh, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Because true love, faithful love, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Why? Because you believe Him. Him. Christ is the message. Christ is the gospel. Even more personally, if you want to put it, Christ is our gospel.
Amen.
He's been given to us, and His gospel message has been given to us. And we have it in this book. We hear Him, we look to Him, we believe Him, and by His grace and His power, we preach Him. These things we speak. We speak. Oh, you understand? Now, don't be shocked, but I got this from a rapper. Not personally, third or fourth hand. But here's the thing. There's a reason we sound the same day after day, week after week, year after year. The reason is this. The truth doesn't change. You understand? We preach from the Old Testament, and what do we preach from the Old Testament? No, that's the wrong question. Who do we preach from the Old Testament? Christ. The right answer. But I asked the wrong question. Who do we preach from the Old Testament? Christ. Christ. This is the work of God. This is the work of God. What? That ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. Oh, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Oh, I like that. The truth doesn't change any more than Christ does, because He is the truth. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time and this place. Lord, we ask for Your blessings. We need them every day. We need them every way. But You have blessed us with all spiritual things, in heavenly places and in earthly places, in our beloved Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us. Oh, and He ever liveth to make intercession for us right now. And we need His intercession every day. Thank You, Lord. Be with Walter and Paul as they come to preach Your word. Be with everyone who will hear. Bless your word to our hearts, that we will receive it and believe it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.